Hello and welcome to another episode of the Student Loan Planner Podcast. And today we've got a very special show for you that is going to put a lot more money back in your pocket. Today's show is called 51 Ways to Save $1,000 in 2023. This is going to put more money in your pocket to allow you to invest and either get started investing for the first time or significantly ramp up your investing to get you to financial freedom with passive income coming in that replaces your active income faster than you ever dreamed possible. Today, we are launching Six-Figure Debt to Six-Figure Net Worth. This is our flagship investing course. This is our eighth time launching it. We update it every year. We launch it once a year, and we offer a huge discount for this course, but only once a year, and we might not ever offer it ever again for this low of a price. So I wanted to demonstrate the value in this course by just covering one of the lesson modules that we are going to be talking about today, and it is basically going to go into 51 ways to save $1,000. Now, this is not necessarily going to apply to everyone. Not all of these 51 tips are going to apply for everyone in every circumstance, but if you take even a couple of these tips, you will instantly pay for this course in multiples. And that's the intent, is to help people invest. So six-figure debt to six-figure net worth, it's the only course out there that's designed specifically to help high debt professionals learn how to invest. I would say this is a beginner to intermediate level course. There's definitely some material in there for folks looking for advanced level knowledge, but this is a very friendly course for somebody that has no idea what to do with investing. And this is also a course that's going to give some new thoughts and new concepts to people that really think they know quite a bit about investing. And again, the whole point of it is to save you tons of money, get you to passive income faster that's going to replace what you're earning with your active income, which means you have control over the most valuable asset of all in your life, which is your time. So I'm going to talk more about how to join that course at the end of today's podcast. So if you want to know about how to get the 70% off discount for this course, you can go to the end of today's podcast. But first, I wanted to demonstrate the value of this course. What I'm going to do is cover half of these tips. So I'm going to cover about 25 of the 51, because after all, there's got to be some material behind the curtain for you to find out, right? I'm joking a little bit. It's mostly in the interest of time. We don't have time to go into all 51 in this particular podcast episode. So let's talk about the first tip. 401k account balance deductions are changing in a big way in 2023. We had record-breaking inflation, and because 401k balances, deduction limits are kind of roughly in line with inflation, we had a big increase in that. So it went from $20,500 in 2022 to $22,500 in 2023. So $20,500 to $22,500, that's a 2K increase. That would save you, if your tax rate is, you know, say 50% with 10% for student loans, let's say 35% for federal and 5% for state. A lot of people are in a 50% marginal tax bracket in our audience. That could save you 50% by just knowing to change your deduction limit at work. A lot of people won't do that, but that'd be a pretty easy way to save $1,000 in taxes. Another tip is Roth IRA and traditional IRA contribution limits have changed. Used to be $6,000, now it's $6,500. That change has been in place just absolutely forever. And I'm going to go through these tips a little bit fast because there's a lot of them and I want to get through as many as possible. Next one is, did you know you can exclude a $250,000 gain if you're single or $500,000 gain if you're married from the sale of your primary home if you've lived in it two of the past 5 years? I know a lot of people. I've actually got a friend who's a builder who literally goes in and buys land, builds a house, lives in it 2 years, sells it for a $500K tax-free gain, and then moves on to the next one. I wouldn't recommend doing that. A lot of marriages couldn't survive that kind of moving around, but that's the kind of thing that you want to be aware of, because if you sell a house improperly, then you could incur a gain, which would impact your taxes and cost you five or even six figures if you're in a very high tax state. Something to think about. Now, another tip for you. Now, these are going to be a mix of investing tips and personal finance tips. For this next one, don't report an accident or incident to your insurance company if you're not filing a claim. I made a big mistake on this not too long ago. Well, a few years ago, I should say. So basically, my wife kind of scraped her car leaving the parking garage because she was parked close to one of those support cylinders. I didn't really understand as much about money as I know now, so I called the insurance company and told them what happened in case we decided to file a claim. I wanted to have it investigated to see if we needed to file a claim to get the car repaired. So we ended up deciding, well, this is like a $5,000 car. You know, our deductible was $500 at the time. It probably all in was going to cost something like $800 to $1,000 to fix. So we decided to not do that. Lo and behold, basically a couple years later, we tried to buy insurance for a different kind of product. And we actually got denied. And I said, why is that? And they said, well, you can't have a claim in the past, whatever, 5 years, I think it was. I said, wait a second, we didn't file a claim. They said, well, that still counts. So there you go. One of my granddad's wisest phrases was only tell folks what they need to know. So for an example with this, in this case, if you have an incident with your house, with your car, any kind of incident that you're talking to an insurance company about, zip your lips and don't talk about it. I remember one time I had a slip and fall incident where I got a concussion because the apartment complex I lived at didn't pay somebody fast enough to get out and make sure the sidewalks were salted correctly. And I was from Florida and didn't know any better. Somebody from risk management called and tried to get me on a recorded line saying that I didn't miss any work, that I was totally fine, that I didn't have any headaches. And so be aware of what people's incentives are and only tell insurance companies what they absolutely need to know. Next tip, this is the fifth tip if you're counting, avoid a wash sale. So there's something called tax loss harvesting. This is where you sell one stock and then buy another stock that's almost identical, but not quite, and then buy it back after 31 days. I say 31, it's 30 days, but you know, just to be careful, 31 days. And what commonly happens with this is somebody might have that same stock or mutual fund in their retirement account, and they are on a recurring contribution plan to that fund, and then you incur a wash sale, and then you thought you were going to save a couple to a few thousand dollars in your taxes, but instead that loss is disallowed because you didn't follow the rules. So that's a pretty common mistake, and we talk about tax loss harvesting in the course quite a bit because that's an easy way to save thousands of dollars, especially in a down market like we've experienced the past year. Next is don't put real estate investment trusts in your taxable investing account. REITs are something that's very popular, especially in high inflation kind of periods because people claim, oh, you know, dividend income and we're raising rents and all that kind of thing. But the problem is REITs are taxed as ordinary income, whereas other kinds of investments are taxed at capital gains rates. Now, if you put your real estate stuff in your taxable accounts, you're going to pay a lot more in taxes than you need to. So that's an easy way to blow $1,000 or more is not being aware of your placement of your investments. Next is check your fees on your investments. So many people don't have any idea what their expense ratio, their mutual funds are in their retirement accounts. This is a major problem. And you know, most workers, I would say, are really not protected from this because you just don't, people don't look. So just go and find your 401k, find your 403b, find your IRA, look at what's in it, and then go Google search expense ratio and then fill in the name of the fund. And then try to find that expense ratio. If that expense ratio is above 0.2%, you're probably losing hundreds or even thousands of dollars every year and not even knowing it. Number eight, don't use an insurance company with mutual in the name. You know, without naming anybody in particular, there are great advisors at all companies out there. But when there are certain kinds of companies that have higher fees, that have a lot of brick and mortar, that really hire a lot of very excellent people persons in a lot of these advisor roles, you're going to pay a lot of extra money for that service. And in a lot of cases, when you're buying something like life insurance or disability insurance, there is value in having an expert guide you through that, but you want that expert to not necessarily work for one company where they're bound to sell you the thing that company is selling, right? So one example of this, we had a couple that was paying $30,000 a year in combined disability and life insurance premiums. They hadn't shopped around at all. We kind of helped them shop around through our agency SLP Insurance, and we found basically, I think, double or triple the coverage on disability insurance, and I want to say 5 to 10x the coverage in life insurance for about a 50% lower premium, just because they bought from a very high fee company. So there's a way to save a lot of extra money on your premiums and put that in investments instead. Next is when you're buying a house, shop for a different homeowner's policy. You get a homeowner's policy expected premium on your loan estimate. A lot of people don't know that that doesn't mean you have to use that company. You can shop around for it. It literally says, you know, services you can shop around for on your loan estimate, but a lot of people just go with the one that was recommended to them by their broker or their real estate agent and don't look around. So we saved $1,000 a year and got twice the coverage just by asking our auto insurer, who also offered home insurance, if we could get a multi-policy discount and what would they charge us for homeowners insurance. Next is see if your bank has overdraft protection, and if so, move some of your checking account money to your savings account. So checking accounts generally pay less than 1%, even right now. And savings accounts, in a lot of cases, pay 2 or even 3%, in some cases, even a little bit more than that. And so figure out what your bank's terms are with overdraft protection. And if the overdraft protection is there, where if you overdraft your checking account, it'll pull it out of your savings account and you'll be okay with that, then you could earn more interest income by having more of that money in your savings account instead of your checking account. Number 11 out of 25 that we'll cover today is put a lot of your large savings, say for like a house down payment, put it into like a money market fund instead of the bank. So specifically, I'm thinking about, I believe it's VFMXX, I think is what it is. It's Vanguard's Federal Money Market Fund. Right now, as I'm recording this, it pays 4.2%. And that's almost a full 1% higher than Ally, which is a high yield savings account. And money market funds in periods of rising interest rates frequently pay higher interest than bank accounts do. And money markets are pegged to dollar per share. They are a little bit different than a bank account, but they're extremely safe. And I would certainly feel comfortable telling any friend or family member to put all their house down payment into a Vanguard Federal money market. Let's do a couple student loan related ones. Do not certify your IDR payment until you're forced to. So a lot of folks don't know when you're required to certify your IDR payment. With the latest details are basically that you'll have to, nobody's gonna have to recertify sooner than 6 months after the Supreme Court sort of makes its ruling, or when payments restart, something like that. We still haven't gotten a super firm answer as to when the exact date is, but we think right now that you won't be required to certify until maybe about February 2024. So if you think about that, if you recertify early, you could potentially have to pay more if the servicer opts to make your payment higher because you told them about your income information. So that could cost you a lot of money. On the flip side, if you do not certify your income early when you should, that can make you pay too much. So I'll give you an example here. I talked to a pastor who got married and had 3 kids since the last time he certified his income when he used his tax return from 2019. That's how long student loans have been paused, right? Now, because his spouse doesn't earn much of an income, and because being a pastor, you're not getting huge increases in your pay every year, maybe a few percent at most, that person could recertify early and cut his payment by over $1,000 a year. So really pretty shocking. So you want to be very aware about when you certify your IDR payments. Number 14 is set up automatic transfers for your credit card. In the past, I didn't do this, or I just signed up for a new credit card and forgot to set up the automated transfer. And then guess what I did? I forgot about the credit card payment, and boom, there were fees and interest for the first time in my life. I felt ashamed. I felt so terrible about it. I'm just joking around a little bit. It happens, right? But if you make sure that there's automated transfer set up, you'll avoid that. Number 15, open a 529 plan in states where there's an income tax deduction. So one example is in Missouri, where I used to live, you can deduct up to a $16,000 contribution on your state income taxes. So every year, you know, you're saving almost $1,000 about on putting money into a 529, and there's different rules about being able to use money towards paying student loans out of a 529. So a lot of people could do that and save $1,000 in their state income taxes. Next here, we'll do ask for 3 estimates. So here's an interesting stat. We're still trying to renovate our home after 2 years. One of the estimates that we got was more than $100K more than another estimate. Same kind of company, no real difference in the types of subcontractors they're using. Just one was more than $100K higher than the other one. Really crazy. If we didn't shop around, maybe we just went with that first one that seemed really nice, we would have cost ourselves a ton of money by going with that person. So definitely ask around for, you know, really 3 estimates on something that's 6 figures and at least 2 estimates on something that's 5 figures. Next is harvest gains, capital gains. Did you know that you could, if your total income as a single person is below 50K, you pay 0% on federal capital gains? If you're married, that threshold of total income is 100K. So a lot of people don't know this, but let's say that you are, you know, let's say you're two social workers married to each other and, you know, your total income is 40 and 40, and so it's 80 total. Let's say you had a really good year in the stock market, or you have some stuff for gains that you're thinking about selling. Well, you could harvest up to $20,000 of gains and pay 0% tax on those. A lot of people don't know that. And a lot of people, for example, that are in lower tax brackets for just a period of their lives, like resident physicians, could really take advantage of this. I hope I'm on track with the number. We're trying to move fast here. Change the way you're taxed. So a lot of folks are maybe sole proprietors. Talk to a CPA and get set up as an S corporation so that you can lower the wages that you pay yourself so that you can avoid Social Security and Medicare tax on a significant portion of your wages and save a few thousand dollars in doing so. I believe number 18, set up a better retirement account. So instead of just being content with a traditional IRA, look into if you have control over it. If you own a business, you can set up your own 401k or profit sharing plan. And if you're just a 1099 contractor, you can set up a solo 401k or SEP IRA and contribute up to $66,000 a year now in 2023. Pretty big deal. Next is get health insurance subsidies that you qualify for. A lot of folks don't understand that if you do a silver plan with the perfect income, then you can get almost free health insurance that's very high quality. So not all providers accept Medicaid, right? If you get the perfect percent of poverty line of, you know, of your AGI, then you can qualify for something called cost-sharing assistance on a silver plan and have a deductible as low as like $500, $5 for a visit to a primary care doctor, $10 for a specialist. It's really fascinating how much you can game the ACA marketplace, and it's totally legal. So an example of this might be somebody that makes $80,000 a year, who's got significant amount of assets, who's starting up a business, could optimize their income by setting up a solo 401k plan, lowering their taxable income to the perfect level to optimize health insurance subsidies. And that would allow that family to get almost free health insurance instead of spending $15,000 to $20,000 a year in deductibles and premiums. Pretty big deal, right? Next tip is earn money with a side hustle so that you can write off expenses. So it's pretty awesome having a business side hustle because you can write off a lot of things that you might not typically be able to write off. Things like computers, things like home offices, things like even vehicles you can write off if you know what you're doing. So that's pretty shocking. It feels kind of almost dirty at times because you're like, I thought this home office thing was illegal. You know, I thought, writing off a vehicle, that seems so wrong or whatever. Well, talk to your CPA, find a good one that's honest and very thorough and detailed, right? And then get all the write-offs that you can legally. Ultimately, if you're paying extra in taxes, you know, you're not really helping yourself that much because other people are taking advantage of the loopholes and the rules, and you're just paying a lot of extra out of your own pocket that could go to your family, your charities, or just things that you enjoy or you're, you know, investing, for example. So pay as little as possible on taxes through taking advantage of all the write-offs that you can get. If you're a W-2 employee, a little bit harder. You have to go through your employer benefits to get a lot of write-offs. There's a few write-offs available for W-2s that we talk about in our course, but there's a lot more if you're a business owner. Let's see, a couple other ones. Pay for childcare expenses tax-free. A lot of people just pay out of pocket, but you can get a dependent care FSA. And if you're married, you can do up to $5,000 a year in that. It's pretty easy to spend $5,000 a year on childcare if you got two people working in the house, right? So if you pay that money out of pocket, you're paying it with after-tax wages. If you pay it through the dependent care FSA, you're paying it with pre-tax wages. Number, I think, 22, if you're paying for healthcare expenses, do so through a healthcare FSA where you can deduct up to $3,000 a year tax-free. You can pay that tax-free healthcare expenses that way. A couple more student loan related ones. File your 2022 taxes separate if needed. So the 2022 tax year is probably going to be the first year in many years that that tax return will actually be relevant to people recertifying student loans. Now, maybe not, because if folks get to recertify as late as February 2024, and if your recert date is before that, it gets kicked out a year potentially, your 2022 tax return might not be relevant for your IDR plan. That's possible, but it's really a case-by-case basis. So if you think it would benefit you to file separate, make sure you do so in 2022 because it can cut your student loan payment by thousands a year. Another tip, amend old separate tax returns if those aren't relevant to your loans. A lot of people have been filing separate in 2020 and 2021 and feeling like they would need those tax returns to certify their IDR payments. Turns out those weren't necessary. You didn't need to do that in a lot of cases because this recertification date just keeps getting pushed out and pushed out and pushed out. So you can, a lot of cases, pay a lot more in taxes by filing separately. Most people don't know that you have up to 3 years in the past that you can amend those separate tax returns with something called a 1040X and get thousands of dollars back in a tax refund if you qualify for that. A couple special cases here. We'll call this challenger expenses. Here's an example. If you have a kid in college and they give you your financial aid award, you can send them back a response. I would like you to use professional judgment to look at my aid offer. Professional judgment's a code word that shows that you know what you're talking about, and financial aid professionals will look and essentially probably look to discount the tuition that they're charging you by coming up with a quote-unquote merit scholarship that's really just discounting. This is very widespread practice. And what the dirty little secret is just like an airplane ticket, there's 50 different prices that everybody on the airplane paid for that ticket. It's actually the same thing for colleges at the undergrad level, at least. At the graduate level, the price is the price. Why? Because student loans are unlimited and they can charge whatever they want. And people can pay on an income-driven plan, so consumers don't actually feel the cost, right? In the most cases. At the undergrad level, student loans are capped unless you go through Parent Plus, and that makes people more price sensitive, and so you can negotiate the tuition costs down if you ask for the right thing. Might not be relevant for you, but if you don't, you know, have college-aged kids, so we'll talk about challenging your property tax assessment. You can disagree with your property tax assessment. A lot of people don't know that it can be challenged. You can do an informal challenge initially. You can invite the appraiser to walk the property with you. A lot of people don't let the appraiser in the house. Then that works against you because they automatically go with the highest potential value. And then you can file a formal appeal. And the last tip here we'll do is challenge balance billing for healthcare expenses. One really, really popular thing that healthcare industry companies love to do is basically the healthcare provider or the hospital will bill you the insurance company. The insurance company will say, well, we'll only pay X. And then the hospital says, no, we disagree. We want more. And so then they will turn around and send what the insurance company didn't pay, and they'll send it straight to you. And I think this is, you know, kind of a ploy to get the consumer upset so the consumer bothers the insurance company to pay more, right? It's just a big sort of a game. But what you should know is that you can challenge that. You can write letters. You can talk to the billing department and ask for adjustments. But a lot of people don't do that, and they just make the payment. So this is just an example of about 25 tips where you can save at least $1,000. In some cases, you could save a lot more. So for example, tax loss harvesting, I personally harvested paper losses that are going to save me tens of thousands of dollars in taxes this year. And it's not something that's illegal or that difficult as long as you learn what you're doing. There's all kinds of things about investing that seem complicated. And I'm sorry that if these particular tips sounded complicated, I didn't mean to make your eyes glaze over, because this is just going through stuff really rapidly and fast without the organization that we've got in the six-figure net worth investing course. So with this six-figure net worth investing course, this will take somebody that has no idea how to invest and make you a confident investor using all of the best tools and tricks and resources so that you're going to really rapidly grow your net worth. You know, when you're going for paying down your student loans or investing, you've got a trade-off. Now, for a lot of folks, it's paying down loans or investing, which what should you do? But for folks that are on an IDR plan, you don't need to pay down your loans. You need to pay as little as possible because you're going for forgiveness. So then in that case, the choice is even easier. You need to grow your assets if you want to grow your financial independence. A lot of folks mistakenly believe that there's no way that you can reach financial freedom and financial independence with significant, you know, five and six figure passive income every year, ever, when you have six figures of student loan debt. I know from doing this since 2016 that there's nothing further from the truth. You can absolutely hit a massive amount of wealth one day, even if you're going for forgiveness on a ridiculously large student loan balance, $400,000, $500,000, $600,000, even more. It's totally manageable because you need to just know how to invest. And if you do, you're fine. Let me give you another example. If you have $500,000 of student loan debt, but you have $5 million of assets, are you worried? No, of course not, because your net worth is $4.5 million. That's the goal, is to get your mindset reframed away from student loan debt onto how wealthy you will be one day. And I will say this, wealth does not solve all your problems. You will still have challenges and difficult things you're going through, even if you're very, very wealthy. But I will say this, that taking away the stress of finances is a game changer. And what six-figure debt to six-figure net worth does is it shows you, first off, it just explains concepts about investing. You know, how does passive income work? Why do investments give passive income? What is a stock? What is a bond? What is a mutual fund and an ETF? Then we go into, well, how do you mix these stocks and bonds together, and what kind of funds and what percentages do you put in each fund? We talk about how to maximize your investing from a tax perspective. So where should stuff go? How do you tax loss harvest? How do you rebalance? How do you put different investments in the right places and put money into the right retirement accounts to maximize your tax deductions? How do you set up yourself as the right kind of business so that you get the right kind of tax breaks so you've got more money left over to invest? We've talked about these tips today because I wanted to show you that you might think, with inflation and all the different things we're going through, the pending restart of student loan payments, that maybe you don't have enough money to invest, and that nothing could be further from the truth. You definitely have money to invest, because you can look at your finances with a fine-tooth comb and find all kinds of places where you can save a ton of money and just that you didn't even realize was possible. I've literally done thousands of student loan plans in my career. There's always ways that you can improve. Even people that think that they've got it all down pat, there's always huge ways that you can just take a look at something and just really save a lot of money where you didn't think it was possible. I want to encourage you to make 2023 the year that you dominate your finances. I get all kinds of amazing feedback about this course. One person in particular sent me a note saying, I didn't think it was possible with my amount of student loan debt that I would ever have six figures of investments in my portfolio. But I took the course, I followed it, I took the time and listened to the lessons. I got aggressive about contributing, automated on a monthly basis out of my account into my brokerage account. And I've been very excited watching it grow. And this person, you know, said, I recently had $300,000 in my portfolio and I never thought it was possible. So we didn't do that. That person did that. But you need the tools to know what to do, right? If you have no idea how to build a house, it's pretty hard to build a house. Luckily, investing is nowhere near as complicated as building a house, but it does require learning some technical stuff that you can learn in a couple hours. And that's what six-figure net worth does. This investing course, again, explicitly designed for professionals like you with lots of student loan debt. This is really for anyone who's got at least a $30,000 income, at least $5,000 in the bank, and no credit card debt. If you're not there yet, that's okay. Work towards those goals first. But if you're already there, you will save at least 10 times what you spend on this course, guaranteed. There's a 7-day money-back guarantee. So if for any reason you think that you didn't get what you were expecting out of this course, just send help@studentloanplanner.com an email and let us know, and we'll give you a full refund, no questions asked. We've got a 95% satisfaction rate on this, and most of the people that ask for refunds are just people with really advanced level knowledge that didn't find, you know, something new in their particular case, right? So the vast majority of people find something that's going to pay for this course at least 10 times over. So that's really exciting. This is why we offer it. That's why I think it's one of our best things that we offer. So you can buy this until Thursday at 11:59 p.m. this week. So that's coming up here, you know, in a couple days when you're listening to this. So Thursday at 11:59 p.m., this discount ends. It's 70% off until that period, and then we shut the discount down for this course. You won't be able to do it again for a year. So if you want to buy this course, if you want to make 2023 the year that you learned how to invest and the year that you really rocket shipped your family's financial freedom, your time to financial freedom, go to studentloanplanner.com/invest. If you're on the email list, you're going to hear about this. This is, again, something that I really believe in. It's something that we get tremendous feedback on. So I really hope you join this if you haven't already. So studentloanplanner.com/invest. And if you've already purchased the investing course, remember this is our eighth time updating it. Most courses are created once and they just lay fallow forever and don't get updated. So this is the eighth time we've done this update. So if you've already purchased this course, make sure you go to studentloanplanner.com/invest too, and then just go log in and look at some of the updates we made. So thank you again. I'm Travis with Student Loan Planner. Have a great week, and I hope I see you in six-figure debt to six-figure net worth. Go to studentloanplanner.com/invest today. I will see you in the course. Thank you, everyone.